Let us pray. Lord God, we ask your presence with us and your blessing upon us now. Bless the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, for our soul's good, and to the glory of you and your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Text appropriate for the second Sunday after Pentecost. It's also suggested in the hymnal as a text for the second Sunday after Pentecost. It's written in the second chapter of Acts, following the sermon by Peter, the last part of the sermon by Peter. And it shows also the wonderful response. It's written in the second chapter of Acts, beginning with the 36th verse. Then all the people of Israel should know it's true that God made him, and of course that's Jesus, Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They asked Peter and the other apostles, "Fellow Jews, what should we do?" And Peter answered them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will be given the Holy Spirit. What is promised belongs to you, to your children, and to all who are far away, all whom the Lord God will call." And he said much more to warn them. "Be saved from these crooked people," he urged them. Those who accepted what he said were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They were loyal to what the apostles taught in their fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And awe came on everyone. The apostles were doing many wonders and miracles. And all who believed were together and shared everything with one another. They would sell their lands and other property and distribute the money to anyone as he needed it. All were one at heart as they went to the temple regularly every day. They had their meals in their homes and ate their food with glad and simple hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the text. And my friends, this is just a small part of the message of Peter on that first Pentecost day. Sometimes I know a few of you do take notes of every sermon, whether, quote, good or not so good. But that's very, very good. I would love to see a little pad in every pew and that people could take notes all along the way as they will, for it is so hard to remember too much of a sermon. How many sermons have you remembered over the years? How many? Probably a little thought here or there from this sermon or that. But too many, maybe by the afternoon, can hardly remember. What was the sermon all about? What was he preaching? Just like the woman, according to the story that is told, went home to her non-church-going husband and he said, "Well, what did he preach about?" And she said, "Sin." And he said, "Well, what did he say?" "Well, he was against it." And that was about all she remembered. Now, we do need to mention sin, but we also, of course, need, as we've said before in just a few moments ago, we need to mention gospel above all things. That's what we direly need, the gospel. The gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, and the power of God unto good works as well. What is the real motive for everything good you do? It should be really the gospel. Not, "Pastor, go out and give them." But, "Pastor, go out and give them Jesus." Well, that's, of course, what we have here in this sermon by the Apostle Peter. And it seems like there might have even been groups, different disciples speaking in different tongues than they had heard. And of course, it is Peter's message and only a part of it. I said it is, so it would be so nice if we could all take notes so we could remember. Well, I'm happy that surely somebody must have taken some notes, or otherwise they had a very good memory of that first Pentecost. As we were told that Luke did his ample research, asking, inquiring here and there. That's what he says he did. But we know that the Holy Spirit guided him. And finally, as we understand all of Scripture, the Holy Spirit moved him to put down what he wanted them to write. We do speak of verbal inspiration. This is the Word of God, every word. So we remember the words of Peter. And as it is indicated even in this text, there were many more words. But this is just a little sampling. But the words of Peter moved, empowered, prompted by the Holy Spirit, so that we could call it the perfect sermon. Many more words than this, just in the second chapter. But in this, he sets forth, that they were sinners. And one of the greatest words of law is, "You crucified the Lord." The one whom God had appointed, you crucified him. Oh, that is law enough to make one tremble. A perfect sermon would include law. Yes, you've heard that beautiful spiritual. We hear it, First Lutheran, love to sing it, or even have solos on Good Friday. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" As we look at that scene, we think of the law. Were you there? No, we weren't there physically, even as many of those that were listening to the sermon of Peter were not actually there. Many of them had not cried out, "Crucified him, crucify him," though likely there were a number, many in that crowd who had cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." But they were one and all as we are there when they crucified the Lord. We, they, and we helped nail him to the cross. As we think about the cause, we can look at the cross and we think about what caused that cross to take place? What caused Jesus, God's anointed one, the promised Messiah, true God, true man, to suffer and die? Ah, as we sing in one of our beautiful Lenten hymns, ah, I also and my sin wrought thy deep affliction. This indeed the cause hath been of thy crucifixion. Yes, our sins, sins of thought, word, deed. The third commandment was mentioned in the Old Testament lesson today. Observe the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And of course, sometimes a pastor might think, oh, that's a difficult sermon to preach on, because the people he's preaching to are there. They are remembering the Sabbath day. But do we always come with a whole and happy heart? Do we often let other things interfere with that little time of worship? Do we find ourselves oh so readily daydreaming, lost in thought, a mile or 10 or 20 miles away? Yes, that we can sin in thought, in our attitude. Certainly we can go down all the commandments. We fall short, and they helped nail Jesus to the cross. But we don't stop there. Oh, yes, we ought to observe the Sabbath day. Oh, yes, come with a glad and happy heart. Gladly hear the word of God. That's what Luther would say. Do not despise teaching, preaching in his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. But then, as we know the law, know the cause, we cry out, tell us, what is the result of it all? The cause was our sins that nailed him to the cross. And the wonderful result of it all is that this indeed was God's anointed, God's appointed, the promised Messiah, the Lord. That's what we remember, and that's what is emphasized here. The one promise. And he mentions the different prophets. How these are now the latter days promised by Joel. And this is the one appointed who suffered and died. And he didn't stay dead as even David. Psalm 16. He didn't stay dead. His body didn't see corruption. The Holy Spirit was inspiring David to speak of the promised one who was to come. Not of himself. David's tomb was even right there and is even there yet today in Jerusalem. But the tomb of Jesus, whichever one it was, or whether one of those it is designated, makes no difference. It's empty. The Lord Jesus Christ left the tomb empty. He arose. He came back to life. He lives glorious and victorious. And that, of course, means he got the job done. The job of being our Savior. The price for our sins has been paid in full. The sacrifice, if you will, has been accepted by God the Father. And now, that is good for the whole world. And to be received by the power of the Holy Spirit through faith. We could call Peter's sermon the perfect sermon. Moved, inspired, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And any sermon ever after stands, echoes in its shadow, the present sermon notwithstanding. But there is still the basic truth. Law and above all gospel. And the response, oh, what a beautiful, perfect response. Pastors, they like to hear, but they try not to be vain about it. Nice sermon, good sermon, if a sermon especially touched the heart and the mind, wonderful. But again, the thought is, soli Deo gloria. To God alone the glory. And so also, with this response, beautiful, perfect sermon by Peter, and the response, it is enough to make any pastor envious, so to speak. But again, who was the empowerer? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit touched their hearts. We're told the hearts of the people were cut to the core. Oh, what do we do now? How can we be saved? We crucified this little appointed one by God, the one who had demonstrated this with life and love and good works and wonders. What can we do? Repent. And of course, the full thought of repent, yes, no, acknowledge I am a sinner. Yes, indeed, there should be some sorrow over those sins, turning from them. But above all, a looking to and trusting Jesus. That's all part of what's involved in the full thought of repentance. Look to and I trust Jesus. And I say that was the response of the people then. And how it just affected their whole lives. Of course, they had a more simple life then than we do today with all of our hustle and bustle. Why, they went to church, to the temple, we're told, even daily. Amazing. But those four points are certainly worth remembering. Probably we remember those even from catechism days. They continued steadfastly, faithfully in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship. By the way, I don't know whether any of you saw the spelling bee the other evening. And the winning word was, anybody remember? Koinonia. Koinonia. Fellowship. They continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine. They loved to learn and to grow in the teachings of God's word through the apostles. Wonderful. We don't have them today. We have pastors, teachers, and, of course, the written word. Oh, to continue steadfastly and faithfully there. And in fellowship, that we enjoy the company of each other. We like to get together, even on a Sunday morning or on other gatherings. Great, good, beautiful. The breaking of bread. Just often referred to a way, if you can remember also from the catechism, a name for the Lord's Supper. Continued faithfully in the Lord's Supper. And in prayer, talking to God daily and all during the day, if you will. What a beautiful response. May that be our response to the gospel. Wherever proclaimed, wherever heard, wherever read, we rejoice to know that we do have a Savior, sinful though we are. God's appointed Jesus Christ. And then that wonderful truth does motivate us, control us, compel us. That's what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:14. The love of Christ constrains us, motivates us, compels us. So may it be with you every time you hear a good, albeit imperfect sermon, every time you read God's holy, inspired, and unerring word, every time you have that devotion, may thus your faith be strengthened and your life empowered with a great, a glorious, a beautiful response. Loving the word, fellowship, the sacrament, prayer. And to that, with life and lips, we say amen and amen. And so may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.